This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
There was a ton of sports news going on locally over the last few days. Legal tampering period has started in the National Football League, so there are signings happening. Terps are 11th in the AP poll. And the Orioles, can they keep everybody healthy another day?
Meetings, a lot of big meetings going on.
Yeah, so let's go to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Our guy Cordell Woodland joins us now. And Cordell, let's start here. Ronnie Stanley, your thoughts on the extension or the new deal, excuse me, and especially in light of some of the money we've seen today, it looks like a bargain.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that's why it was so important for the Ravens to get it done before today, because they knew if he had hit the open market, I think Ronnie would have been gone. I do. The Commanders trading for Laremy Tunsil, I felt like that right there lets you know that would have been one of the teams in on him, along with some of these other teams that have kind of jumped on the offensive lineman market. So Ravens get to keep their guy, and honest, like you said, it's at a bargain price too. So I think it works out.
Had a couple departures, Patrick McCary, Brandon Stevens, both leaving. Not huge surprises for either of them, Cordell, but how do you think the Ravens go about replacing them?
Well, I think McCary, they may feel like that's already in-house. Give Andrew Voorhees another shot. We'll see what happens there. I don't think it deters them from still continuing to look at the offensive line, though. I fully expect that to be a part of their draft weekend. And with Brandon Stevens, I think that they had already kind of said their goodbyes with him, you know, so the writing was on the wall all year. And definitely at the end of the season press conference, when you heard what DaCosta had to say. So I think that they're happy with the comp picks that they'll get back for both of those guys. But I don't think that they're surprised to see both of them go.
Is that it on the offensive side of the ball? I mean, I kind of think it is, or I could live with it if it is, but
in free agency, probably so. Yeah, free agency, I would expect so.
Because these receiver prices look like they're pretty obscene.
Yeah,
so, like,
they're not spending money for a receiver. I mean, and a lot of the big market guys are gone. I mean, Cooper Kupp, we're still waiting to see what happens with him. I'd be surprised, but you know, they've shocked me before. So we'll see what happens with that. But I am expecting them to be done in terms of the veterans right now on the offensive side of the ball. And come draft, we could see receiver. I still think, like I said, offensive line. And what do they do at backup quarterback? We'll see.
I'm talking with Cordell Woodland's Inside Access here on the Fan. Cordell, curious what you think of what the Steelers did trading for DK Metcalf and who the heck's playing quarterback for them?
I mean, I guess they're putting their eggs into the Aaron Rodgers basket, if you believe the reports that are out there right now. But I would expect them to try to make a splash. I don't really see them running this back with Russ. That's just me. I wouldn't. I mean, I've seen that movie already. I don't need to see that again. And it's not to sit here and say that Rodgers is substantially better, but Yes, I would trust Rodgers right now over Russ. You know, I think Rodgers could get the ball to guys. Both of them are statues in the pocket at these days. So you do have to worry about that. And I don't know what their run game is going to look like. So they still have question marks. And that with, you know, so many personalities over there. You talk about adding DK, him and George Pickens. I mean, that's going to be must-see TV on and on the sidelines during their game. So I'm curious to see how it all works out. But clearly they're trying. They're being aggressive. They're taking swings. And if it does come together, you could kind of see how, outside of their obvious holes, they do have pieces on that team right now.
Speaking of running it back, your Commandos. I don't – it's a young man's game. I Debo – ooh, like, are you going to get that out of the linebacker again? You know, Ertz with all these young move tight ends being produced in college, and then Tunsil was a holding machine last year, and I felt like he was starting to take a step back, and you give up that kind of draft capital. Do you have any trepidation about what they're doing?
So, I mean, the Bobby Wagner one, I don't necessarily have a problem with. You know, I definitely see your point with him, but It, for some of these guys, it's beyond just the play on the field. They're in the midst of changing the culture. He fits what they're trying to do. He's a locker room leader. And then he does still have something. He's not elite by any means, but he was a second team All-Pro this year. So, I mean, I don't, like you said, I don't expect him to play to that level next year, but they must feel like what he brings off the field warrants the drop-off that's probably going to come next year. The Debo trade, you know, if they had given up any more to get him, I wouldn't love it. And I'm not sitting here saying I love it right now. I don't. But I don't mind what they gave up. I'm all for winning now. I'm all for going to get known pieces over, you know, spending draft capital or using draft picks right now when you have a quarterback like this on a rookie deal. So you have Terry. It's not like Debo's coming in here to be your number one. And I do believe that Jaden is kind of that force multiplier to kind of level guys up. And Debo, if nothing else, will be hungry. He's got 1 year left on his deal, a hefty price, but it is what it is right now. I'm all about stacking talent, and they have the cap space to absorb it. The Tunsil one, I'm okay with that, honestly. Go get your left tackle. He still is premier. Again, it's a known commodity. Sure, it's a little older. Pricey, yes. But the draft capital, you know, the second and fourth are for next year. They get to keep most of their picks other than the third rounder and I think a seventh rounder that they're giving up this year. So I don't mind it. Like I say, and I said this on Me and Ben's show, when you're a team that, and at this point, I got to consider them contenders. They were just in a conference championship game where you have a quarterback with that type of contract and you've got all that cap space, blow that money. Not like they did in 2000. But go out there and go and get you some guys that you do feel like can get you over the hump.
Cordell, let's finish with the Orioles. This time a week ago when we were talking to you, it was very boring during spring training, and so much has happened in the past 7 days. We're Brandon Hyde not making it to the game in time. Grayson Rodriguez, 89.5 mile per hour fastball, and now we know that he got a shot in his elbow, and Kittredge, he's out for months. Gunnar Henderson might not be ready for opening day. How concerned are you about the O's?
I mean, I'm definitely concerned. I miss Bourne at this point. Give me that over what we've gotten over the last week. The Grayson stuff, I mean, you never felt good about it, and it just feels almost like the Kyle Bradish situation all over again right now to me. That's honestly how it feels to me. Like you said, the Kittredge thing, we kind of saw this coming when you hear that they're looking for multiple opinions. It sucks because he was a big part of their offseason. He was a big part of their plans for the bullpen. One of the main reasons why I was so optimistic about the bullpen, and I still am, but that's a big blow. And we'll see with Gunnar. We'll see. I mean, I don't feel great about it, but I'm not panicking when it comes to him until further notice. But these injuries are starting to pile up, and especially with the pitching staff, you'd have to wonder what their plan is, because it can't just be, you know, to give Grayson a cortisone shot and see what happens again. It can't be that. They already fumbled it with how they handled it in the spring training game with him and Brandon Hyde's not there. apparently there was no adult in the classroom that day to allow Grayson to stay out there and to continue, and to make a bad situation turn into a worse situation. So I don't know what they're doing, but it does seem like nobody has their hands on the driving wheel right now.
Cordell, when are you and Ben back?
We're back Wednesday night. So, you know, hopefully there's no more bad news coming out of Sarasota. And the NFL news has been crazy to this point. We did talk to Keaton Mitchell over the weekend. So that was really cool at the Ed Block Courage Awards. So we'll have a lot to get into, hopefully more positives than we have today.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much, as always.
Thanks, guys.
With the Hot Corner next, and Christian Rodriguez, what are we thinking about that now that we've gotten a little more info? And what do we think about this rotation? We'll tell you next.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's here on The Fan. So last week was fascinating. We're talking about middle of the week. Grayson Rodriguez was pitching a road spring training game. The manager was late because he was in a traffic from a car accident on I-75. And Grayson Rodriguez allegedly did not have good stuff in the bullpen.
Well, not allegedly, according to Grayson Rodriguez.
Him. Yeah, he says he didn't have it, couldn't get behind the ball, then pitched in the game, and said, well, I'm a little sluggish, but I'll let it eat once the season starts. Well, a day later, we found out it was like tricep soreness, but now it's soreness behind the elbow. He got a cortisone shot. So this just reminds me, because somebody asked me this today, they're like, isn't this what happened with Bradish? No, he got a PCP shot in the elbow. This is a cortisone shot like behind the ligament. That said, anytime you talk elbow, it's alarming.
I have a feeling we'll be talking about that day in Fort Myers, Florida, for quite some time. I've never seen anything like it. The more I've thought about it, the more incongruous and bizarre it feels for a team that has so much invested in this young man. The fact that no one saved him from himself on multiple levels in that bullpen, sooner in that game, after the game, talking to the media and whatever that was, the fact that no one and management of that team stepped in to say, hey, no, there's something wrong here. The kid wasn't supposed to just leave after 33 pitches, and we're going to get right on it. It should shock me, but unfortunately it doesn't.
I will never get over the fact that he faced two more batters after throwing that 89.5-mile-per-hour fastball. He faced two more
batters. If he doesn't hit a guy, he might be in there to clean up the inning.
He probably would have been. He probably would have been. And look, they obviously know more than me with the medicals and up, but if this is any type of thread the needle situation like they were trying to do with Kyle Bradish last year, just have him get the surgery and be done with it, because you don't want to compromise two seasons by trying to walk this tightrope.
They pushed back Bradish. It got them nowhere. They pushed back Higante, who's going to pitch tonight, Batista. Yeah. It's turned out to backfire on them. The skipper came out over the weekend. said it's not a guarantee that he's on the opening day roster. This despite it being 16 months removed. If you'd had the surgery when he immediately had the injury, you'd be like 18 months removed,
yeah.
And maybe those extra few months would be the difference, especially when all you do is go get Kittredge, and he can't get through 2 weeks of Grapefruit League ball before he's under the knife. They build their team, to me, on hopes and dreams.
Well, they sure as heck don't plan for rainy days.
It's looking like a nightmare.
They don't plan for rainy days. That's for damn sure, Jason. Like, we in real time, we're like, you should do more because, like, you can't expect everything to go right.
The ifs.
The if guy. The if guy was ready. I'm curious. Well, I want to hear from the if guy again because his grand plan has blown up and it's not even St. Patrick's Day or wasn't.
What young pitcher's arm hasn't blown out here? Who they've asked to do anything of note?
Well, they haven't had met Kapovich.
It's awful early.
Yeah.
But just right now, right? Because you can never have too much pitching. We've got Batista, who's still on the mend from Tommy John. And, I mean, I don't know how you could say anything other than behind. Right? I mean, I remember people telling me 16 months has to be enough. Well,
you would think, yeah.
We've got Bradish on an indefinite timetable that's jeopardized two seasons when it only had to jeopardize one. We got nothing from Tyler Wells. Who knows? Grayson, we'll see after the cortisone shot. He's not going to be here opening day. And I suspect this is something that dogs him all year because when a guy like him, who's pitched so little, can't even get a normal base going down in Florida before we're dealing with stuff like this, that's pretty damn ominous to me. They traded for Trevor Rogers, who looked like... If you want to talk about a guy who looks like a textbook study and a dude who's going to get hurt, it's him. Velo down, relying on the breaking ball too much. Everything looks hittable. He's terrible here. He's terrible in the minors till he's not. He's hurt.
But they knew he was hurt when they got him.
And McDermott's hurt.
Yeah.
Heck, and even though he's not here anymore, D.L. Hall dealt with his fair share of injuries here and now with Milwaukee.
He's on the 60-day IL. Hey, but they knew Trevor Rogers was
they knew his damaged goods when they overpaid for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he added absolutely nothing to their playoff push. He actually hurt it, if anything. So that's what you're dealing with. I have major reservations that they have any clue what they're doing when it comes to navigating major league pitching and what it really takes to get through a season and what it's like to have built up enough of an arsenal of arms in the high minors and at the major league level to be fortified, especially when you let a 200-inning horse walk out of your building. But I guess they know better.
Coming up next, we head down to Sarasota. How dire are things? We'll ask Jacob Calvin-Meyer. He covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, and he joins us next. And let's head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, where the Hall of Famer himself, Jacob Calvin-Meyer, covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, joins us now. And Jacob, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. Hope you're enjoying the warm weather. Your thoughts on Grayson Rodriguez, how dire do you think this is?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Is that Hall of Fame thing going to play every time?
Yes, every time.
Skippy.
Wow, that is an honor. Thank you, guys.
Yes, of course. Really and a reminder, every time it plays, remind yourself that Jason didn't vote for you at all.
I wanted there to be some drama in the room.
Yes.
Listen, you always need motivation, so that's the chip on my shoulder.
There you go.
Okay, Grayson. Yeah, listen, obviously disappointing. I think the thing that stands out to me from the discourse, from the fan base, frankly, is that, and this is no slight at Grayson Rodriguez, who is already a really good major league pitcher and has potential to be a great major league pitcher. But this fan base, in my view, is really sort of overrating Grayson Rodriguez at where he is right now, because they treated this the way that the Yankees are treating Gerrit Cole going down. And the result of Grayson Rodriguez being removed from the rotation at the beginning of the year is that he's going to be replaced possibly by Albert Suarez, who last season was just as good as Grayson Rodriguez was. And so, listen, Grayson Rodriguez is important to this rotation. He has the potential to be a top-of-the-rotation starter. But so far in his career, he has not reached the levels that this fan base has wanted or that the organization or that Grayson would have wanted, that he showed of what he could be as a prospect. And he's still so young. But listen, this is now three separate different injuries that he's sustained in the past 11 months. He had right shoulder inflammation last April. Then he had the lat teres thing late in the year. And then now he has this back of the elbow tricep thing. So it's definitely not where you would have wanted him to start his third season in the big leagues.
You just got there. You obviously weren't down there for, boy, the humdinger that was Fort Myers last week. Chef's kiss. That was something. Do you have questions about, I don't know, why Grayson, with having another suspect pen saying he didn't feel good, pitched in that game anyway? I don't know why Grayson throwing the four-seamer below 90 but is allowed to stay in there and face multiple guys. Why Grayson, being a young pitcher, doesn't really know that much yet. After being yanked from a game under those curious circumstances, would be talking to the media afterwards and opining about what might or might not be happening. The manager, who wasn't at the game, sloughing it off at the time and saying it sounded okay on the radio, which I guess is the Twins broadcast. Like, does any of this have your spidey senses tingling?
Probably not as much as it has your spidey senses tingling. Mm-hmm. But listen, I was home last week, and I was confused by it all. And some of this is always going to remain, right? None of us are inside Grayson Rodriguez's head or his body.
Yep.
And that is sort of the missing piece to all of this. I'll just give you a little bit of inside baseball here, which is, and you guys, Jason, you certainly know this. If Grayson Rodriguez had been pulled for an injury, or if he had reported to anybody on the team that he was injured or felt injured, if he had stubbed his toe, Orioles public relations would not have let us talk to him after the game. Now, I wish that wasn't the case. I would love it if a starting pitcher is injured, that we can still talk to him after his start to figure out what's going on. But this MO for this team is that if a guy gets injured in his start, he's not talking to us after. And so that leads me to believe, even though I wasn't down there, that Grayson wasn't pulled for an injury and that he didn't say anything to anyone, and that at the time he, other than feeling sluggish, I guess, which was his word, that he didn't think that there was an injury there, because if he did, then he wouldn't have spoken with the media. And so I will say that it does raise my eyebrows a little bit. I will also say this. Pitching is not a fun thing to do in terms of staying healthy. All of these pitchers are feeling things in their arm. All of these guys are constantly pitching through little things, pitching through pain. And so, like, it is possible that he could have felt something that he didn't think was a big deal, and then he wakes up the next morning and he goes, oh, crap. The next morning is really when a lot of these pitchers, they come down from the adrenaline, they come down from their start, and then they wake up the next morning and they feel something different. That is possible that that's what's going on here, and a lot of this is incumbent on the pitcher to step up and say something when he's not feeling right.
Jacob, the bullpen is already compromised with Kittredge being out for a couple of months, and then Brandon Hyde yesterday being non-committal about Felix Bautista when talking about his status for opening day. How concerned are you of Felix's availability to start the year?
It's really difficult because, like, on one hand, I think it's like Brandon doesn't want to jinx anything with Felix. But at the same time, you can, firstly, jinxes aren't real, but you cannot jinx the guy and still say, hey, he is on track to be ready for opening day. If everything goes well, he'll be with us. But that's not exactly what they've said. And the velocity for Felix has been a little bit down. Now, listen, it is spring training. I don't think he is blowing it out quite yet. We'll see today. He's going to pitch in probably about an hour. This will be another opportunity for us to see what the velo looks like and see what Felix looks like, similar to what I was just saying with Grayson. It's important to see how Felix wakes up tomorrow and see how he bounces back after his outings. Early in the season, they're not going to use him on back-to-back days, but it's still important that you know, he can, you know, pitch on a Monday and then be ready on Wednesday, for example. Hyde said today that Felix has two outings. Today will be his third. They're looking to get him in 6 to 7 times. If you look, they've got about 2 weeks left. If everything stays okay, they should be able to get him to 6 or 7 outings. It's really just a matter of whether or not he looks the way that they want him to look and if he feels the way that he wants to feel.
We're talking with Jacob Calvin-Meyer. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Jacob, you have any more insight on when we could see Gunnar Henderson playing baseball again? And in the meantime, Jackson Holliday going to play some shortstop, huh?
Yeah, so Gunnar, honestly, no idea. It could be tomorrow when he starts baseball activities again. And it could be that we don't see him at all in groups or league games. Like, I honestly have no idea where this stands at the moment. It's also a kind of a different weird type of injury that you don't see that often. So it's a little bit more difficult to say, hey, what does this timeline exactly look like compared with what would be a normal injury? And every single game that Gunnar Henderson misses is a massive loss to this team. This is not a normal baseball player. He is one of the best in baseball. And so it would be a massive loss, even if he just misses the first 10 games of the season. Holiday, yes, he'll get shortstop today. It does look like that if Henderson and Mateo both open the season on the injured list, that it could be Holiday at shortstop. They could also have Levon Soto on the opening day roster and play him. But I don't, in my view, if one of your infielders is out, you want to get Ramon Arias in the lineup. And the only way to do that is to move Jackson Holiday to shortstop and then have Westberg and Arias at third and second. So I don't really know if it makes too much sense to me to put Levon Soto at shortstop, because then you're losing, you know, Ramon's bat, which is not a huge bat, but it is a slightly above average hitter that would at least try to mitigate slightly the loss of Henderson.
Kyle Gibson reunion, do we aim bigger than this? Because ultimately, whether it was that now, 5 months ago, 3 months ago, or the upcoming trade deadline, a lot of people thought they needed to add something else.
Lance Lynn?
Mitch Keller? I mean, everybody's saying that the Marlins don't want to trade Alcantara till the deadline. Why? So they could pay him more money for meaningless games? I don't get that. What should they do?
You said, do we aim bigger? What do you think they're going to do, Jason? Do you think they're going to aim bigger?
Of course not, but I'm asking you.
yeah, listen, I don't see Gibson as a fit. They kind of already have that in Morton, and then
and Kramer.
They do have the starting pitching depth to kind of get through this with Grayson. I do think somebody like Lance Lynn, or somebody that could be a reliever if you need him to, could be a starter if you need him to, a right-hander, that might make some sense if they're not confident with some of the guys that they have. I mean, if you're really looking at it, if Suarez is going to be the number five starter and Povich starts the year in AAA, which I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen, but it could, then you're looking at a bullpen where Brian Baker is the seventh guy, and then the eighth guy, it's really up in the air. It could be Matt Bowman. It could be Roansy Contreras. It's like, I'm not super comfortable with that. So
no.
This might be a situation, honestly, where they're gonna look at what players. There could be like a Danny Coulomb move at the end. Remember at the end of spring in 2023,
yeah.
They go out and they give up cash considerations. The problem with that is the chance that you're gonna get somebody who was as good as Danny Coulomb was. In a cash considerations trade is pretty unlikely.
Jacob Calvin Meyer covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun. Jacob, thank you as always for your time. Enjoy the baseball.
Always a pleasure.
Enjoy your Hall of Fame music.
Yes.
Your intro.
Yeah. Thank
you.
Well
deserved.
Yes. Hall of Fame for life, Jacob
Forever.
Calvin Meyer. Yes. We'll come back at the Text of the Day preview tomorrow's show and get you ready for Infinity Sports Radio coming up at 6 here on The Fan. Before we get to the Text of the Day, it's been a pretty busy day in the National Football League. A lot of moves. Though the Ravens, as usual, have been sitting
and
out.
And Joy Taylor's back, which and is Joy,
yes,
very big,
very big day
Gorilla.
For everybody. Yes. It's good. It's good to have that show back.
All's right in the world.
Yes, it is. Things have corrected themselves, but
stabilized.
Yes, very, very much so. Can I just make one wish clear?
You kind of just did.
Well, thank you.
Well, that wish thanks, already.
That wish
already
granted.
But one other wish. Could
the television
could the Steelers please sign Aaron Rodgers between
now
and the time we hit air tomorrow? That could be quite a gift for us for
that
season.
That
the
entire would be fall, something.
It would be, God, it would be such a dumpster fire.
That's going to be fun, Jason.
It would be catastrophic.
I said this weeks ago when it happened. If they sign him and they bottom out, I'm tearing it down to the studs for Pittsburgh. Tearing it down to the studs.
Might be time for a bit of a rebuild. Alas, we'll get to some of that tomorrow.
He would never get in my building.
Yeah, let's get the Text of the Day.
Check 1-2. Check.
Text of the day. text today is sponsored by Orsman Automotive, driven by OrsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OrsmanCars.com. Text today comes from Chris in Baltimore, who says, how high do we think the Terps could rise with a Big Ten tournament victory?
Just one or the winning the whole title?
Whole tournament. Whole tournament.
Ooh,
that would be interesting.
If they win the Big Ten tournament?
I think they're a three seed. Though I was reading last night, historically, you don't get a huge bump for the tournament.
Well, first of all, isn't this really kind of sort of done on Friday, and then they tweak it on Saturday, and Sunday they're unveiling it? But, like, how much of the seating's being changed by anything that happens? What time is tip-off on Sunday? 2 o'clock?
I said, historically, you don't get huge bumps from the tournaments.
The Big Ten tournament's also the last tournament going on. If they win the Big Ten tournament, potentially a 3. I think they're a 4 regardless.
Michigan honestly. State is going to be the highest-seeded Big Ten tournament in the field of 64.
The highest-seeded Big Ten team, it's second. They'll be 2. They'll be a 2 seed.
I'm sorry. Michigan State will be, I said that, right? Michigan State is going to be the highest seeded team from this conference in the Big Dance, no matter what happens in this tournament.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, could the Terps be higher than a 4 with a big enough run? Maybe.
Yeah, I think Michigan State's a 2, so yeah.
Maybe. But they're not going to be a 2. There's too many SEC teams. No. Like, that's not happening. No. And Sparty will be a 2.
I think
and there's only 4 2s. Yeah. So.
It's a great point.
Right?
That is a great
last
point.
I checked.
That's Jason. Yeah. That's
like the Orioles, rotation.
Got a bunch of fours.
3 4s and 2 5s equals a 1.
I mean, that equals a full house is what it equals.
Yes.
It's a good hand.
Yeah, it wins a lot of poker hands. Bone, what do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we have Jonas Schaefer. Get the latest on Hall the legal tampering period. Rita Hubbard. Walt Williams, the wizard, will be joining us. And Buck Showalter as well. What does Buck think of the O's as we get closer and closer to opening day?
That'll be cool. Look forward to talking to Buck Showalter. Always a pleasure to get his thoughts on things. But coming up next, don't change that dial. Infinity Sports Radio, taking you through your evening right here on 105.7 The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.